This week's episode of Please Advise is brought to you by Loot Crate. Are you looking for the best geek gear, houseware, and collectibles for this holiday season? Maybe not for yourself, but for the geek in your life? Look no further than Loot Crate. Loot Crate offers a range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. And this month's theme is Revolution. Fight the power with December's Crate, featuring items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and more. You've got until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific, that's just in time to get it out for the holidays, to subscribe and receive that month's crate. But when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure you go to www.lootcrate.com/malls to save $2 on any new subscription today. Hey guys, it's Malls. Welcome to Please Advise, or to the Please Advise feed, where I do not have a new episode of the show that you came here for today, but instead a treat. Why do we have a treat? Well, you deserve it. Also, we need your calls. Remember, Please Advise only thrives because you make it happen. I know you have some holiday drama up ahead or just behind you. Friends who are driving you fucking nuts about New Year's plans, job changes, issues coping with the results of our last election, and everything in between. Beauty, health, creativity, spirituality, cash flow, gnarly habits. Whatever your problem is, we are here to tackle it with clear eyes, full hearts, and absolutely no qualifications. You guys, 323-450-7408, 323-450-7408. Our lines are always open for you to leave a message. We can also take your voice notes, just record them on your iPhone or whatever, and send them on over to askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. That always has the best audio quality, and I like it because I can tell you think outside of the box. I have a little bit of preferential treatment for the people that record on their voice memos. Also, remember, you can email letters to askpleaseadvise@gmail.com, although we do like your voice notes the most. The only thing we ask is that you give your age, your location, and if necessary to the question, your sexuality. That's your sexual preference. Any sort of gender identity stuff, whatever else you want to include from there, that's great, but it is helpful to have your age and your location and a name. You don't need to give us a name, but sometimes it's helpful just to have it to reference you. Anyway, 323-450-7408. Please Advise Nation, give me this gift of your calls so we can keep making an amazing show for you. That said, back to the treat. Many of you don't know that I have a third podcast right now. It's on a limited run, and it's called Mother May I Sleep With Podcast. Each week, a guest and I break down a different Lifetime movie, moment by painful moment, to figure out what's so funny, troubling, and deeply satisfying about these movies all at the same time. If you're into movies and TV and you're into longer listens, give this podcast a shot. We've had Karen Kilgariff from My Favorite Murder breaking down Untouchable, the Drew Peterson story. Please Advise favorite Ryan Bailey and I deconstructed The Craigslist Killer. Ira Madison III and I got into She Cried No. It's a movie about date rape on college campuses starring DJ Tanner and Zach Morris. It's also about the invention of the viral video. Oh, and many of you freaked out when I recently posted on Instagram my episode with Lara Shane Halls about the Lifetime classic She's Too Young. Now, this movie, I don't know if many of you have seen it, but I have heard, and you will hear Ronnie Karam, our guest in the episode, say that it's much more popular than you'd probably imagine. Starring Hayley Duff, Parker, several rocks, many, many large rocks. Have an important role in this movie. Also, Tiny Eyebrows, The City of Santa Monica, and A Dying Child. It's a ridiculous movie, one that I would recommend watching. And by the way, if you guys want to go to MotherMayISleepWithPodcast.com and see what movies we have done, listen to the episodes, and see which movies we're going to be covering in future weeks, so that if you want to go ahead and binge them before we record the episodes, so that you're nice and prepared, that's fine. But I have heard from many of you that you don't necessarily need to watch the movies to understand what's going on and enjoy the podcast, which was a goal of mine. I want to also say that I love you. I appreciate all of your support throughout all of this. I know we will be doing a second season of Mother May I Sleep With Podcast. I know that Emotionally Broken Psychos is doing great, and that is large in part because of the Please Advise Nation audience just being so great. So Please Advise, has brought so many amazing gifts to my life, and I'm so thankful for all of you. So thank you so much for listening to Please Advise every week. Thanks for giving Mother May I Sleep a podcast a try. Thank you to so many of you who have been supporting the Emotionally Broken Psychos Patreon. By the way, you want to head over there today, patreon.com/ebpsychos, and check out what rewards we have up there right now. We have a bunch of special holiday rewards, which include everything from me going to your birthday party to me sending you holiday cookies to a monthly documentary club to a monthly binge watching club. I have worked on putting together a bunch of rewards for you guys with Nicole Matthew, who is our coordinating producer on Mother May I Sleep With podcast and on Emotionally Broken Psychos. And I think that you will really enjoy that. So remember, call the show 323-450-7408. Enjoy today's episode of Mother May I Sleep With podcast. If you like it a lot, go over and subscribe in iTunes. That's huge. Subscribe in iTunes. Those numbers really, really help. And if you really like it, leave a 5-star review. Binge listen to the other episodes. Maybe even go so far as to tweet it out and say to your friends, hey, this is some entertainment I'm really enjoying. I love you guys. Lifetime original movies are a staple of any TV junkie's diet, and we take them very seriously. So seriously that we've dedicated an entire podcast to picking apart each and every one ever made. The stories, the actors, the stunning dialogue, the IMDb trivia, we're here to discuss it all with the appropriate mixture of reverence and humor, one movie at a time. I'm Molly McAleer, and this is Mother May I Sleep With podcast. Guys, it's his secret fam. His secret family. My guest, Ronnie Karam, is back. Hi.
Hi.
Shh, it's a secret.
Be quiet. It's a secret family. Who's my father? I'll never tell you.
I don't know if this movie is so good that I could talk about it for 5 hours, or if I really just like kind of want to sort my mail while we like while we do this. Like, I feel like I have some mail I could sort right now, and like I could easily just get through what I need to say about this film.
I purposely wore shoes with socks today because I knew if I wore flip flops, I would pick my toenails.
You knew it.
Yeah, I felt it coming.
So they, we have Hayley Duff. Hayley Duff is in this film.
Hayley Duff, wow.
She is, she's, you know, the secondary, I think, lesser known Duff sister, for those of you out there who didn't already know that. I've actually met Hayley Duff, and she's a nice girl. I just want to say that.
She seems very nice.
She was a very nice girl.
Usually nice people are terrible actors. It's like the horrible people who are good actors.
This was actually her last credit as an actress. I know that currently she has some shows now. Hayley's America. She was on that for a while, which I believe is Hayley Duff, like doing a traveling cooking show. She likes to cook.
Hayley's America. It she sounds very called, low energy.
Yeah, she does Food's Greatest Hits TV series. Like, she does a lot of food stuff now. Real
like
Girls
be
Kitchen.
Like, hi, welcome to Hayley's America. Today, we're in Salt Lake City, where they like crackers and cheese. We're going to make that now. So very low energy, Hayley.
Unique Sweets. Isn't that the show that Georgia Hardstart does with Ali Ward? She is Stephen Ray Morris, also works on My Favorite Murder. Dude,
crossover.
Our girl Hayley has done some eps of Unique Sweets. I wonder if like that's kind of like a crazy crossover.
Do they it's wear like ball wild. Gowns on that show? Because I know Georgia Hardstark from improv back in the day. She's so sweet. And so when she got on the cooking channel, I would watch her and I was like, how do they do this beverage show? Because they're like, hey, we're like the cute, like we're really cute and we make beverages. But they would always be in these party dress ball gown things. And I was like, geez, that's a big wardrobe department for cooking channel.
They were big on Tumblr back in the day. They've been doing the drink thing for a really long time. I'm glad they've transitioned to all sorts of different things.
I saw them on one of those.
They're both so nice.
Those talkie.
Allie
they just send
coming
all the...
on here, actually.
She is?
Yes. Yes. Sorry. Keep going.
I haven't met her before, but I like when they go. I like how they're just on all those shows with all the different chefs where they're like, we're at Rocco's in New York City today. And then all the different chefs give their opinion of those foods. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like kind of like diners, drive-ins and dives, but multiple people and they don't have douchebag hair.
Right.
Well, some of them. But they do that. They're spokespeople for a lot of those places. And I'm like, you did not just go to Paris, New York, and Nashville for this one episode. This is the cooking channel. Who the fuck are you kidding? Allie and Georgia. Who are you kidding? All right, that's my question that's going out to Allie and Georgia.
You think that they're not really you think they're green screening it?
They're not actually in there. It's one of those interview shows where multiple chefs will be like, oh, the risotto at that place, it's amazing because Jean-Luc has a special way with salting the rice or whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, I just have a little confession. I don't generally watch cooking shows because I'm frustrated that I can't taste the food. And then I look at the people's clothing and I look at their mannerisms and I'm like, well, we probably wouldn't even have the same taste anyway. And then I'm like, probably fucking sucks. Like
they're gross.
I can't watch
like,
any of those shows.
Gross. I'm not cooking her gnocchi. Hate her
but like that's why I always wanted to get into like Top Chef or like any one of those things. People love Chopped. Like the things, the way I hear people talk about Chopped, I'm like, I wish I could get in there. I did enjoy some episodes of Cupcake Wars. That show was kind of fun. But like
I had a friend on that. She went on the Cupcake Wars. They cheat on that show. No offense. Don't spread it.
No,
not for my friend. My friend didn't say that.
By the way, this is more interesting than this movie, so don't worry, you guys. We can spend 20 minutes on Cupcake Wars with Stephen Ray Morris having a hard out at 8:30, and we're still going to be fine. If we get to this movie in the last 15 minutes of the podcast, it was worth it.
Really? Because I've got like 30 pages of notes. So.
But wait, tell me about your friend cheating on Cupcake Wars.
She did not cheat. I'm so sorry I said that, but
you didn't. I'm putting those words on your mouth.
She went on the old Cupcake Wars, and she's like, I said, how did you do that? Because those shows are like, make a cupcake in 5 seconds. I'm like, you could not possibly have baked a cupcake in this amount of time,
right?
Like,
exactly.
There's no physical way. And she's like, well, when we were I'm giving it away by imitating her. She won't listen to this. And she's like, well
thanks, Ronnie.
Well, we didn't. No, I just meant because it's me, not you. when we weren't finished, they would give us a little extra time. And then they would say, okay, you've got a little extra time. And then we still weren't finished. So they give us a little extra time. And then when it looked like someone would be finished, they start shooting again and call time.
Wow. Cheats. So that part is cheating. But I guess the only time that people, because everyone always just like manages to make it. Like that's always a big cliffhanger. Like, are they going to make it? And it's only the people you like who truly shit the bed. And they usually get out during the first round. Like they're not like task oriented people in any capacity. Like they should be working at like a boutique that sells like one thing once a day.
Like I didn't put the rice on until the last 5 minutes.
And they just tinker around all day.
Oh, who does that?
Yeah. so we also have David O'Donnell in this movie. David O'Donnell was Jason/David.
So what else has he done? And do they all require tiny eyebrows?
I mean,
because the second I saw him, I was like, those are the tiniest eyebrows I've ever seen in my life.
This is the genre of like Lifetime man. Actually, no, that's a lie. I was going to say, well, no, it's maybe not. This is maybe the genre of Lifetime man I'm most attracted to beside my boyfriend, Eddie Fisher, and Liz and Dick. It's like, he's like kind of like, I don't know. He kind of looks, I guess he's maybe like a David Duchovny / Kyle Chandler type sort of moment.
I think he's like an Eddie Sibber. Well, when he looked, he walked up, he was very McDreamy or McDreamy, right?
Yeah.
Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
But then younger, so it wasn't him. And then he was kind of like younger, thinner Eddie Cibrian, who, you know, like didn't take roids or whatever.
Yeah.
But then once it got close up on him, I was like, this is the worst actor I've ever seen in my life. And he has really tiny eyebrows, which I don't even know if I'm pro or con.
He made some like wild choices toward the end. I cannot wait to share the audio. But dude, he was born in Wellesley, Massachusetts, fellow Massachusetts person, grandson to the great Kenny O'Donnell, Harvard football captain and chief of staff of the for President Kennedy. David grew up. Okay, so it's nepotism. This is nepotism.
Wow. Way to go, Dad.
What else
shit
has
Lifetime
done?
Movie that cost $10 to make. His dad's like, that's right. So all my hard work got you, kid.
He just finished something called In Search of Fellini. He was in His Secret Family just back in 2015. Did a handful of things in between then. He's done a lot of Christmas movies. 12 Wishes of Christmas, A Christmas Wedding Tale.
Are they all on Lifetime and or Hallmark?
I'm guessing Christmas Under Wraps. Yeah, these are all. Yeah.
Because he's hot. He just needs to like be quiet.
Merry Christmas.
I could use some more shirtless. Was there any shirtless scenes with this guy? No, right?
I don't think he was shirtless. No, I don't think we saw any shirtless scene. He was on Seventh Heaven early on in his career. One of his first roles.
Oh, no. Because you know that guy was a molester. I hope he wasn't too young when he was on that show.
No, don't worry. He liked girls.
No, not
Stephen Collins liked little girls.
Oh, okay.
Did you see, like, the TMZ, like, the woman who, Catherine Hicks, who played the mom on Seventh Heaven, like, kind of, like, she kind of did a little bit of a clap back in the news the other day where someone was like, would you ever do a Seventh Heaven reunion? She's like, yes, but of course we'd have to open up on Steven's casket. And I was like, damn. Bitch, like, well, you're crazy. Like, what's her name? Is it Annie
She's
Potts?
She's like, if it's called
Catherine
Eighth
Hicks?
Husband and he's dead, Eighth Heaven. It doesn't have the ring to it, does it? Eighth Heaven.
Well, by the end, it was like, it was only Seventh Heaven for like three seasons, and then they had twins. They blew their load with the twins. He did, he played Young Man on Seventh Heaven. He did Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Melrose Place, Beverly Hills 90210. He played Tony in an episode called 80s Night. He was on several episodes of Undressed, so you can probably see shirtless shots there. Wags
is that
like
a show
aggressively...
where people are really undressed? I feel like it's where people are just eating salads without anything on it. It's... like anytime they name something like naked, it's not. It's like some clothed.
No, it's MTV's Undressed. It was like a culty. It's like a culty show from like I guess the early 2000s or early 2000s.
This guy's been on a lot of terrible shit. It actually makes me feel bad because I thought, good for this guy. Like, he's in his 30s. He's obviously given some blowjobs to get here. I mean, that's good because he's terrible, and I've never seen him before. But now
no,
to know
he
that he's actually
blowjobs.
Got an entire resume of stuff. I mean, not great stuff.
He's
still
a Kennedy.
Stuff.
Like, he's not a Kennedy, but, like, he's related to someone who worked for a Kennedy.
I guess that's, like, secretary nepotism.
Parker right Stevenson, do you know him?
Of course. He was married to Kirstie Alley. She divorced him. That poor guy. Could you imagine?
Do you think that was America's sliding doors moment? Is that when she became a Scientologist? Would we never have the show Fat Actress if it wasn't for that divorce?
Fat Actress is a classic. How dare you? Patrick did, that's his name, right? Parker.
Parker Stevenson.
Okay, I think Parker was with her back in the Cheers days, and they're like, we're so happy. And then they went on all these talk shows, and they were like, oh my God, here's how to be a happy marriage couple or whatever. And then, of course, they divorced, and she was like throwing hamburgers at him and shit, because that's when she like got really Kirstied.
Yeah.
She got hugely Kirstied at that time. And everyone was like, she's fat. Is it because of Parker? And then they were fighting and stuff, and I just always imagined
she was on
her
cocaine. Too.
Well, I mean, So is he. I mean, look at his face. That is a cocaine. That is an ex-cocaine face.
Yeah.
People who do cocaine, no one's judging you. Moisturize.
Do you think he's in the program? I'm laughing at you saying moisturize, not that, at the thought of someone being in the program.
It's true, though. I think when you're drinking hard and you're doing drugs, I mean, we've all been there. But you're not thinking of the smart thing. Use a condom. Drink your water. Use your moisturizer.
Now, do you know Jennifer Aspen, who played the first wife?
What's she from? That, I'm
She's from like everything.
Her.
She was in something called Party of Five. Just kidding. Everyone knows Party of Five, mm-hmm. greatest show of all time.
I couldn't with that show. I didn't
She's
like
in
it.
Scream Queens in the Haunted House episode as Mandy Greenwell. Did you see that was like one of the old sorority sisters from the 80s who like she wound up like dead inside of the haunted house?
Mandy Greenwald? Anyway. Why, is that a real thing?
That's that's the name of her character. I don't know. Shit My Dad Says, Glee. Rodney, a show called Rodney.
Rodney?
Boston Legal.
Oh, I saw Boston Legal.
She was on a show called Come to Papa.
Oh, geez. Now, this girl has not given blowjobs. This is a girl who should have a better career. She's good. I liked her. She was very funny.
She did some good comedic stuff.
I mean, she did the best she could. Could you even believe she was married to that guy in this movie? I didn't buy it.
I mean, I'm just glad that she's taking like dramatic roles now. Like she seems, I mean, she's done a lot of stuff. And I think that she's a big enough actress that she's on the poster. That's pretty like key. But like Parker Stevenson's agent like didn't. What? I'm serious. Parker Stevenson's agent didn't negotiate that. And like Jennifer Aspen's agent did. But I guess it is his secret family. So we have to maybe show the wives more than, I don't know.
It's not the secret Parker. Okay. No one is wondering what happens with Parker in this.
I know. I'm like fighting for his like rights here to get covered. he's a bigger name. Okay. So we open up on a house in Big Bear. It's a big, beautiful home. Have you ever been to Big Bear?
Yes. That is some white trash.
It's white trash.
With children everywhere, and everywhere is like a skee ball place.
Okay, interesting.
And they've got like big wooden bears that they sell. They're like, you want to buy a big wooden bear? Who wants that? It's like one of those big things you put in your yard. This place is trash, Big Bear.
In Lifetime movies, you're sometimes supposed to know, like you're supposed to have a vibe about an area, and sometimes you're not at all. Like with the Craigslist killer, like you really didn't need to know anything about Boston at all. But like with like Drew Peterson, like it kind of being a more Midwestern thing was like hugely important to the story. And
Isn't
like
Drew Peterson Modesto?
Yeah.
That's a Lacey. Yeah.
No. Drew Peterson. You're thinking of Scott Peterson.
Sorry.
I know, right?
Sorry, other killer.
No, I know, right though. I always confuse them too.
So which one was Drew Peterson?
Drew Peterson was like he was played by Rob Lowe, but he was the cop that like had five wives and like the last like three of them like turned four of them, the last like three of them turned up dead.
Oh. Was that a real? That's a real.
Yeah,
thing,
it's a real
right?
story.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I just think it's funny with
no,
Rob Lowe
should,
running
like,
around.
No, you should totally
like,
see it too. Like the real Drew wives. Peterson's like he's like totally fugly. And then they just like got Rob Lowe. Like and they put him in kind of an ugly wig, and he gained some weight. And it was so nice of Lifetime to do that for him.
They really opened up.
Jodi Arias, like, I mean, hers was big. I mean, that actress and Jodi Arias, I would say, are probably equally beautiful.
You think?
I mean, kind of.
That actress was hot, I thought.
You don't think Jodi Arias is hot?
Well, I only saw the after pictures where she was
That's
trying to look
true.
Like...
That's not true. You saw them with me.
I don't think you showed them to me. You just told me that she used to be really hot.
I'll
and then
you
started
after.
Looking at your computer and you're like, yeah, see, she's really hot. But I was sitting across from you and I couldn't
were,
see
like,
it.
You were like not looking. Yeah,
yeah
no,
I couldn't
I know.
See it.
Sorry. Okay, sorry I accused you of that.
No, I'm not guilting you. I mean, maybe I did see I don't know. Maybe I just have like hot girl forgetting issues.
It's okay. So Haley Duff's character, Sarah, she is kind of like a little bit of like a bogan. Like she is a little bit white trash. And like it kind of like, I mean, I guess that's the only way I know how to describe it, just because like she's a nice mom. Like they live in a beyond gorgeous home. But like the fact that like she's in this marriage where her husband just takes off for like weeks at a time without telling her, and like she's not full of too many questions when her son is also dying of like a life-threatening disease, like, oh my like God. Dying.
Which,
of
how would you even know
disease.
From that doctor? He's like, your child has a disease. Like, do you even? Can someone at least help the guy pronounce the words? I have them all written down here because I was mortified at that doctor scene. But in general, yeah, here's the thing with Lifetime. I really appreciate that they kind of get back at the men because, you know, like the male-dominated industry. There's always like the girl who you know nothing about. You're like, why is she in love with this guy? You never know. They're just like plastic.
Right.
And in this one, the guys are like that. You have no idea what's good about him. He's never there. She's just like, he's a husband, so I love him. So I like that. But then at the same time, it's really not feminist because she's just some dumb girl who just wants
to be
married.
There's not a lot of, that's a kind of a common theme in these films is there's not a lot of character development. Like everyone like gets to like one thing. Yeah. Like Haley Duff is like a mom who's worried about the bills.
Yeah, she like, just cares. Like she got some guy to marry her, and she lives in a house. And she's like, I'm not going to ask any questions. My kitchen doesn't match. Like nothing in here makes sense. But who cares? I have a man, and you know he comes home every once in a while. That's all I need.
At one point, we learned her dad died, but there was no follow up on that. She was maybe from the greater LA area, like the valley or something.
That was the scene with Parker. She sees Parker at the police station, and she's like, hello, officer, she's very low energy. So she's like, officer, I'm really worried about my husband. And you see him like slowly stalking up. I was like, oh my God, is it the killer? Because it's like from behind. He's slowly, and that's stupid Parker Stevens. And he's like, hey, I knew your dad. And she's like, yeah, he's dead. And
he's like, I know, because like he was like, oh, I tried to reach out a couple years ago and your dad never reached back. And I was going to say, yeah, because she just like, he was probably dead already. Like you didn't even ask for a timeline. But no, I was like, also like, oh, such good friends. Like such good friends. Like you had no idea he died. Like he's another cop. Like when cops die, even when they're like former cops, isn't that like kind of a big deal in the cop world?
I would think so. I think you'd at least go get a beer. I mean, it's a big bear. It's like at least something to do. It's like, well, my friend died. We're getting a beer.
Exactly. Like then get some beers and talk about it. That was weird of them. So. Okay, the dad shows up, right? And I guess we're calling him Jason. He's Jason and he's David, but Haley calls him Jason.
They burn through every white person name in this movie. They're like, Sarah Johnson, what's her name? Her son's like, Timmy Johnson.
Brandon. Her son's name is fucking Brandon. Her sister's name was Lauren. You're right. You're exactly right. Emily, Lauren, Brandon. Joan.
It's like every name on the keychain rack, you know, in a tourist shop.
Joan is totally on here as well. I love this. And then Detective Sharpson doesn't even have a first name. And yeah, Detective Miller, also no name. Dr. McCann, no name. Like literally all the most boring names.
I think they gave them no names so they didn't have to pay them, because some of them, it looked like they were just doing line throughs, you know, where they're like, okay, just say your lines, practice, we're setting the camera. And they're like, okay, cut, you're out. Bling, bling. Grab your Subway sandwich on the way out. Get the hell out of here.
Take a mini crunch bar with you.
Yeah, I was like, did you even tell these people you were shooting? That doctor's probably like, what the holy F? They didn't even tell me they were shooting. I look like a damn idiot. I don't even know how to pronounce the words.
So Jason gets there and like the son's like, dad, can we take the boats out? And the dad's like, I don't know, something happens with the boats. And like the son's like, mom says the boats are bone dry, like meaning they have no gas in them. And dad's like, oh, is that what she said? And like, it was like kind of this weird tension moment. And it makes sense later, like why. But like, I don't know why like she had to lie to him about telling the kid that there was no gas in the boats. Like, it's true.
Like, but what no about that scene where she gets gas out of the garage?
I know.
How are we going to justify this? That was like a meeting later, and they're like, put something at the beginning.
They wrote backwards on that one. They were like, established that they don't keep gas in the boat. So it's so stupid. So
we need the dramatic tension of her speed walking to the garage.
We learn that Brandon's been really sick for a long time and that they have a big doctor's appointment tomorrow.
And if Haley, you don't believe it, he's like.
When he was running, she was like, keep your hand in your pocket. Like, I'm like, I guess like, are they referring to some sort of like, like all those asthma things?
I don't know, but then they never showed one.
Inhalers.
Someone like, forgot to get one in
he's
props.
He's gripping his inhaler while he runs. What a fun childhood. Like at that point, just like get an iPad and get like, and just give up.
You saw his talent with that. They showed him drawing some artwork on the iPad and I was like, it's time to get rid of this child.
I hope no just like deathly ill children are listening to this podcast. Give up. Get an iPad and just lie down. Okay, but dude, no. So she's like, you have to go to the doctor's appointment. He's like, oh, but I have a meeting. And she's like, this is a really important doctor's appointment. Our son is like basically dying. And he's like, I'll see what I can do. So
I have to work. Okay. What don't you understand about me having to work? He got so angry, like he really flew off really quick. And I was like, oh my God, is it an abuse thing where he chases her the whole movie? Because that's the Lifetime trope I love. Or is the dog going to die? Because they kept showing that golden retriever and he was so cute. Mm-hmm. And then the son's like, I love this golden retriever. It's all I have. The boats are dry. I was like, is the dog going to die? I feel like every bit of tension they set up never really paid off.
So, this is one, I guess. This is maybe the closest thing to a payoff we have in the whole movie. She brings up the fact that they're not making their bills. And like, they're just not. The bills are piling up. The bill collectors are calling every day. And like, they live in a fucking nice house. And I was looking at that house being like, that's like a $3 million house.
Oh my God. But the taste. Okay. I feel like you shouldn't have to pay as much rent or lease or whatever mortgage.
If your house is going to be that stupid.
If it's stupid. Like they had a big tile centerpiece in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Was it a rock? Like, what was it a picture of? It was like a piece of bread or something? No. Like, who does that?
It was like literally a loose stone. It was like so, it was like a nicely shaped loose stone.
Who chooses that for centerpiece made out of tile that you can never change?
It was like pressed up against a Keurig or something. And like, it made no sense. And like, I understand that they live in Big Bear. So like rocks are kind of like a theme or whatever. And like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I have a lot of wood in my house. It's a little on the nose.
But look, it's a tree house. It's style. This house, the tile didn't match the countertop.
I want to be self-aware.
Yeah, like just because you live in Big Bear doesn't mean you have to give up all your sense of style. Like her bedding, was like Kmart, like that. You can tell it was a low thread count, and it was all those flowers, like the really small.
It was like a very forced. Like Victorian floral pattern. It just was very like, it was very modernized and like on like a sateen fabric. Like you could just tell it cost, like it was probably like so sweaty.
It was very Ross. It was very like Airbnb family that's like, okay, well, you don't know who's rented this house for the day that they're going to shoot this entire movie in. So, you know, put the maid's sheets on the bed. Put the mush in the closet.
So, is now a good time to talk about the bills that are piling up in the kitchen? Look, you're not the one with bill collectors calling you every day.
You don't think they call me too? Look, like I said, this trip was great. All these deals are gonna close, and we're gonna have more than enough to get by.
You say that a lot.
Aren't you happy? Haven't I provided a wonderful life for you and Brandon?
Yes. But...
But what? What is there to worry about?
I'm worried that the bank is going to come here and take our home away. That we're going to end up on the street.
Sweetie. Babe, that's ridiculous. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen if we pay the bills.
Sweetheart, the bills are going to get paid. Besides, it's not your problem to worry about. Everything's going to be fine. Okay? Look, I'm sorry. Things are tight right now. But that is temporary. All these deals are going to finalize and we're going to be great again.
Haley's husband, Sarah's husband, sorry, is completely unreachable the next morning. He doesn't show up to the doctor's appointment. The doctor says that Brandon is suffering from severe combined immune deficiency, which is a hereditary disease.
Wait, say it again, because I didn't want to rewind it to hear it, but I was like, that is the dumbest disease I've ever heard. The
honestly, doctor's like,
you have
fake.
Severe genetic laphantosis metonculus.
It's honestly, they took four words that are like, oh, I know all those words. They just like never have really heard them together, but that sounds like they belong together. Like that's what they did. They took four medical words and stuck them together. Severe combined immune deficiency.
I have so much on the doctor. Like I'm literally making myself flick through it.
Are you nervous that you have it?
No, it's just we don't need to like spend time on the doctor's terrible acting. There's so much terrible acting in here, but I'm obsessed with the doctor because he's like, we have to do a genetic testosterone
for
your child. Okay,
let's play the audio of the doctor.
Now, I understand you're having trouble trying to figure out what's causing the shortness of breath and the coughing.
And dizzy spells.
Okay. Oh, you have been through a battery of tests, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brandon, would you mind going to the waiting area and letting me talk to your mother privately?
It's okay. Wait for me out there in the chairs, all right?
Okay. Sure.
Right this way. He seems like a really good kid.
He is. He's so smart, and he's such a sweet boy.
I can tell. Now, I took a lot of time to evaluate Brandon's files, and after reviewing the files, I called his doctor just to get a better understanding. But my hunch is that Brandon is suffering from a rare genetic disorder called severe combined immune deficiency. SCID, or SCID, attacks the immune system, and most sufferers can't even be outdoors, so clearly, Brandon's case isn't that severe, but the disease can get a lot worse as he gets older.
And is there a cure?
Thankfully, there is. But it does require a bone marrow transplant. First, we have to make sure that he definitely has SCID. Then we have to do a genetic match. Generally, one of the parents will be the match. Now, the disease is acting very slowly, so we have some time, but it is best that we find out who the match will be as soon as possible, okay?
Okay.
My nurse will schedule a match test for you and your husband immediately. Everything will be all right.
A genetic testosterone.
You literally can pronounce 50% of the words you're saying right now.
Hun,
very important. If you are not here, if you are not a match, there is a very low chance that someone in the Poppy lottery will be a part of the chance of the genetic match. What? Can someone just give him the line? Like, are you doing this all in one take? Just help the guy out.
You are so true. And they didn't they didn't have the money to fire him. And
yeah,
also,
they were like, we're done.
By the way, I hate to say this. He's some of the only diversity in this film. I believe he might be the only, except for the Hispanic cop that shows up halfway through that I believe she was going to have a love affair with. I was sensing romantic sparks there.
That guy, I'm sorry this isn't video, so only malls can see this, but this is that guy. the frustrated partner cop, he goes, ah, ah. I was like, are you joking? What is wrong with you? He's reacting to nothing. Like, he just drove up. I was like, why do you already look like that? At least wait for someone to say, like, something sarcastic to you. What are you joking about?
Yeah, exactly. Babe, so he,
Babe,
listen, they need to figure out which parent is the carrier, okay, of this,
the
like,
carrier of the genetic monstrosity.
So, Haley calls the corporate headquarters of her husband's work. She's feeling unsafe at home, and there is no result for his name. Someone who's named David Marcus is the one who handles Southern California sales.
But so there's some pharmaceutical company. How big is this company that they're, what is his name? It's like Jason Smith.
It's like Jason Gold. I think it was Jason Goldblum or something, because I noticed that he is Marcus. Yeah, Marcus is a Jewish last name, right? So I was like, did he just like make himself Jewish for his second family? Like, what is
Goldman? He went from like Goldman to.
Yeah. No. Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
She's so lazy, Haley. Okay. She's looking through all these bills. First off, I have to say, I love when the husband was like, babe, I have to work. Don't you appreciate everything I do for you? Look at all of this. I'm like, none of it's paid for. She's going through the bills right now. Like,
I know. Exactly.
So she can't even fight with her husband. And then in this part, she's going through all the bills, calling the pharmaceutical company. They can't find him. And she goes, well, ma'am, that that part of the company is taking part of – it's taking – I'm so sorry. She's like, that part of the company is headed by this other place. And she's like, oh, really? And she goes, would you like me to transfer you to human resources? So you can ask them some more questions. She's like, no, thanks.
I mean, I was wondering that too. I was thinking that seems like wildly inappropriate how much information this company is. Oh, no, he's not available, but I have a social security number available if that's of interest to you. Oh, would you like me to put you in touch with just his you can speak to his direct boss.
Yeah, I'm going to send you some fingerprints to go over. Make them look like him.
So, another person that never pays off, the mom from the carpool, meets Haley Duff, and she's like, is everything okay? You know, someone said, he said his dad missed his appointment, which was like, I'm like, oh, that's a weird thing. Like, in the 10 minutes you're in the carpool lane, like, how was your day? Okay, my dad missed my doctor's appointment. I'm like, that's I kind of wanted him to be a more joyful child. Is that wrong? Like, no, I just like I kind of wanted him to be less downtrodden by his disease.
Yeah, there's like so, he didn't even like he couldn't possibly even know what that disease is. And what is the disease that he just has like a lingering kind of cough?
Yeah.
What are you in a bad mood for? You've got an iPad. You're like 5.
It's cool. I get it. Like he's being like sick is upsetting. I just like think that like I don't know.
We also need to lay the groundwork because this is a big thing that comes back in the end, writers, where she's like, oh, my God, what are these receipts? And she's got all these little like 7-Eleven receipts, which is hilarious to me because this guy does not seem like the type to be like, OK, honey, put these receipts in a Payless box.
Right.
But
exactly.
She's like, what is this receipt? Santa Monica Mail Center. What would that be about? Hong Kong. I have got your child outside.
So, okay, the son is like, you know, awake in bed. He's playing on his iPad, which
terrible
is exactly
artist.
What he should be doing.
Yeah, terrible artist.
And he draws a woman. He draws a picture of just a woman like under a some clouds.
It's a stick figure, okay? If you're going to give your terrible artist child an iPad, put them on a YouTube thing that maybe tutors them how to make art stick figures. With your terrible, stupid, made-up disease. I hate this kid and his feathered hair.
So after that, the phone rings in the living room. It's a collection agency. Haley decides to spend her night like Googling. Finally, after years of being married to a pathological liar who just picks up and leaves in the middle of the night when your son is dying, you decide to finally hit up Google a little bit. Do some light Googling on the man.
Another piece of evidence that this woman is just like, whatever, I'll just get married. Like, who even would date somebody without Googling them?
Exactly, right.
And I like that she finds on Google his Facebook page or whatever. She's like, wait a second.
I'm, like, not a Googler in general. But I feel like I don't Google people before we go on a date. But I feel like if my husband I feel like I would Google my husband at some point.
Oh, no, you got to Google, girl. I put it through the Google. I put it through the Pacer. I put it through the one where you pay $9.95 a month and you can get every like a background check.
Oh, yeah, you do that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Before, like, any date?
Not before any date. I mean, that's why I'm always single, too, though.
It's like when things are starting to get more serious, you, like, do a background. You do a little casual background check on them.
There's a lot of liars. We're in L.A. People even tell you. It's like, what, you made up that name? why wouldn't you tell me you're going under an assumed name? That's happened before. And the made-up name was just as stupid as the first one.
So, the phone rings, blah, blah, blah. Oh, she's Googling, and all of a sudden she sees Jason's email and his Facebook no longer work.
Yeah, no Facebook and no email, which she never mentions again.
So her sister shows up and tries to make things okay, like, okay, but she has no answers to, like, the standard questions whatsoever. Her sister is actually a pretty, like, she's pretty much of no help except for babysitting throughout this entire thing.
And talking more slowly than Haley. Because Haley is like, hello, sis. And she's like, hello, sister. It's like, we get it, you're sisters. You don't have to say sister every time you talk to each other. Why are you talking so slowly?
Hi, sis. Thank you for coming over.
Of course. What are sisters for? No word, huh?
No.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so mad at him. It's been 24 hours and nothing. I'm literally losing my mind.
That man is always working. Maybe he just had another business meeting and forgot to tell you.
I hope so. But then what's his excuse for missing Brandon's appointment? Or not contacting me for 24 hours?
Have you thought about calling the police?
And saying what? My husband hasn't called me in 24 hours. He didn't come home. Like, what are they going to do? Nothing.
Well, I'll call the local hospitals and see if he's checked in anywhere.
Hospitals?
Yes, Sarah. What if he had a medical emergency? My friend's husband had a heart attack while getting into his car at the supermarket. He was dead inside of his car for 8 hours before anybody found him.
Lauren!
Sorry. It's a little morbid, but these things do happen. I'm sure that he's fine. You just have to consider all possibilities.
Yeah. You're right. Could you watch Brandon while I go to the police station?
Yeah, of course. It's a good idea that you're just telling him that he's missing.
Okay, he's not missing. He's just not here.
Okay, so her sister says that she needs to go to the police and tell her son that his dad is missing so that he knows how to process it. That is actually kind of helpful. So then we learn that Sarah and the detective she winds up working with have a history. This is, what's his face? Kirstie Alley's ex-husband. Parker Stevenson.
How come she didn't tell her sister? He deleted his damn Facebook. Who does that? I sent him an email and it was sent back from Melcron Demon or whatever. What the fuck? She didn't even say that. She's like, well, you know, I haven't heard from him in a while. He hasn't answered my voicemails. Why is that like the biggest thing on your radar?
That would be like the smoking gun for me. Is like, totally. There's no like his company email. Like, oh, and also I spoke to his company and no one by his name works
yeah,
there.
She didn't mention that either.
Parker Stevenson, like they worked together. She worked with his dad in the city many years ago. Now he's a detective. I guess he passed away, blah, blah, blah. He was very insensitive,
you guys,
as we
Parker
discussed.
Stevens, like, he's not an LAPD cop anymore. He's like, remember, me and your dad worked in the LAPD back in the day. Like, it was this great time.
Yeah.
I mean, think about when he's talking about it. It's
I
like
know,
Rodney King. It's like the worst. It's the worst. And then he's like, well, you know, Big Bear, being a detective in Big Bear is a little more cerebral than being on the, how's he, the Parker. Go back to bed, Parker.
It was weird that they had to be from LA. Like, I just was like, can you just choose any other city? Like, why does it have to be LA? Like, I don't know. It just kind of, that kind of bums me out in movies. It's like, you could have chosen any other city, San Jose. Perfect. That would have been perfect. And then you wouldn't be thinking about LA for part of it. You know
also,
what I mean?
Also, Haley, like, I feel like if a wife moved to Big Bear from LA and she finds a receipt that says Santa Monica Mail, she'd be like, what the, you know, she'd go and kick her husband's ass because she can envision it in her head. Whereas if she's just, you know, some girl from San Juan and she finds that receipt, she'll be like, oh, maybe it's a street.
Also, if you have the good looks of Hailey Duff, why would you ever leave L.A. when you could just be making it as an actress?
Well, Hailey Duff did not stay a size 2, okay? She was like, bye.
I actually think that she was having her second child.
I'm not fat shaming her. I'm just
saying. Which is why you, when you put your purse, when you put my purse on your lap before we sat down to record this, and so that you, because it's true. Whenever like there's an opportunity, like I think she must have been pregnant during, yeah, she's or like, just had her second child. Here's this leopard
print blanket bunched up. Now let's talk. I was like, why don't you just have scenes where you don't have to sit down if you feel so weird about it? And why are you wearing leggings in every scene? Like, if you're going to feel insecure about it, do it in the right way. Have them shoot you from the waist up, you know?
Pulling but she's lane. Like a mom. Like, I don't think she wanted to sacrifice her character. Like, moms wear leggings, you know?
I'm so sure that she went that deep.
Haley's so method. She actually didn't even want to have her second child. She was just getting ready for this movie. She wanted to remember what it feels like. So the detective brings his partner, Detective Miller, to her house. Detective Miller is very interested in the home and the view. He's like kind of like, I don't know, he's got like shaggy hair. He's always wearing aviators. Like, I'm pretty sure even at night, he has like a mustache, like,
very
like a little soul patch.
He's like, well, here's what we're thinking. And his hands are like waving. And he's like, and his hair is all blow dried. And then he's trying to look all rugged, but his hair is blow dried. And then he's got really waxed eyebrows. You need to quiet down over there with those eyebrows.
And basically, like, the Detective Miller in particular is like 90% of family, 90% of family arguments are about disagreements with family, money. People don't often disappear. There's always a reason. And like, I mean, I think that's a really reasonable thing to say to someone, yeah. Right?
And has she ever seen daytime TV? Because it's pretty standard.
And Hailey Duff is like, don't patronize me, which I love that she said patronize. And then goes, we're not trying to patronize you. And I'm like, God, like, they couldn't even get on the same page about how to pronounce that word, like, during rehearsal. Like,
there was no rehearsal. That's great. This was not a movie where people were really trying.
This was just all one take.
I think so.
Okay, so.
But I did like that Parker stuck that patronizing to her. He's like, you idiot. Because you know they're both like seething and hate each other behind the scenes. And she's like, patronizing. He's like, patronizing, idiot. Yeah. She's like, Parker tried to take me down again today.
So Parker thinks that basically like, he's like, maybe Jason drove off the highway, had a heart attack. And then the new cop, Miller, he's like, I think it's probably more of a domestic issue. So Sarah is not a match, we find out, for her son's genetic disease. We're back at the hospital with this fine doctor. They said they could test the family, but his health will deteriorate without the transplant from Jason or his family. We also find out that Jason doesn't really have any family. We know this earlier. He has one sister. She's never even met her. I guess the sister's kind of a recluse, okay?
Yeah, she's so, like, I've never even... Didn't she say she's never met the sister?
She said she's never met the sister. They just spoke.
She's kind of a recluse. I've never really met her. But then why does she have her full contact in her damn iPhone?
Thanks again to Lucrate for supporting this week's episode of Please Advise. Girls, guys, I know you're out there wondering, what the hell am I supposed to do for the geek/gamer in my life? I like to listen to an advice podcast and then sometimes talk about my feelings and reality TV. I know, I'd be at a loss too. That's why I'm single. Seriously, just to avoid situations like this. But right now, look, here, you're in a relationship with a gamer and you need to do something. And that's why I recommend Loot Crate. Every month, there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can get only with Loot Crate. And this month's theme is Revolution. Fight the power with December's Crate, featuring items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and more. You've got until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. But when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure you go to www.lootcrate.com/malls. That's www.lootcrate.com/MOLLS to save $2 on any new subscription today.
She tries to call Jason on his cell phone. His cell phone's not working. She calls the cell phone company and the provider's like, ma'am, it's very clear on my screen. This phone, and I love that she says that. It's very clear on my screen. It like kind of was like a nice visual of like what was going on over there. It was very clear on her screen that the phone had not been used since the 17th of the month.
So isn't like, that a total invasion of privacy?
I like, mean, yes. I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe they're on a family plan. But like, unless, I mean, again, this is one of those, no one has any like bounds here. Like, I feel like she could easily just like call his doctor and like get a full, like his full, like, why did she even need to have him for his bone marrow? Like, couldn't her doctor just like his doctor just slide her some stray bone marrow that he has? Like everyone else is breaching confidentiality. Bones
in the refrigerator, which you can now take with you. Also, she does not even care about this guy. Okay. Anybody with an iPhone knows you get your boyfriend's iCloud password. Like, what kind of fucking idiot is this? She's like, where's my husband? Where's your iCloud password?
Oh, really? Haley? You think that? Oh, I would never want. I don't care how much I love someone. No one's allowed to have my iCloud password.
Oh, I don't give mine. You just watch them.
Oh, you
girl,
you
put
steal.
Some logging software on your computer or something. You better find that out. Your man will be doing all sorts of things that you'll never know. You watch Lifetime for a living, damn it.
I know. No, it's not for a living.
Well, you're living and you're watching it a lot.
For a dying. So.
Oh, what's going on?
I'm sorry, but we need to search your property again.
Tina, really? You've searched it twice. Isn't that enough?
It's been a month. With no sign of your husband. And our entire town and our entire police force and the FBI have been searching and have come up with nothing until now. We have some new leads that we could simply clear up if we could just come in and search.
Can't you see how upsetting this is?
We found a woman that we believe Jason was having an intimate affair with.
No, that's a lie.
It's just some investigating to do. But the evidence corroborates the fact. Is this yours?
I haven't seen that in years. Where did you find that?
We found it on the woman.
What does that mean, you found it on the woman?
We found it on her dead body. Your fingerprints are on it.
Daniel, of course my fingerprints are on it. It's mine. Jason gave it to me on our anniversary. I know that it's mine because there's a stone missing by the clasp. She could have found that anywhere.
Do you know her?
No.
Her name is Amanda Woodley.
Oh, I've never seen her before in my entire life. How did she die?
It's not important. What is important is the department is gathering evidence right now and a cause for motive. And at this very moment, honestly, our only probable suspects are Jason and you.
Oh my God, Daniel. Come on, I didn't kill anyone. It's insane for you to think that I did.
That's why I'm asking you to please let us in again so we can make sure there's no connection between you and Amanda Woodward.
Can't you see how insulting and painful it is to be accused of something so horrific?
I can't even imagine what you're going through.
You can't imagine.
I am truly sorry.
Nothing to hide. My home is yours.
It's been a month, and basically the entire police force, the town, and the FBI have come up with nothing, which is amazing that they have so many people on it. The FBI is involved. They need to search her place in the middle of the night. He has a bracelet. Parker Stevenson has a bracelet that used to be Sarah's. It was found on the wrist of a woman named Amanda Woodward, a murdered woman.
Wasn't that the name of the chick on Melrose Place, Heather
Maybe.
Locklear, Amanda Woodward.
Let me see. But like, here's that. The other thing. Like, who was Amanda Woodward? Like, we never found out why she was wearing. Like, is this like attempt at a wife number three?
I feel like this movie was 4 hours long, and then they were like, "We got to edit some stuff out," because that they never came back to that. We never know who this woman was. Was he married again? We don't know.
Amanda Woodward was Heather Locklear.
So she, Heather Locklear's dead in Big Bear with some bracelet missing a stone. There's another woman with no self-respect, because Haley was like, I know that that's my bracelet because it was missing a stone.
I know. So
this cheap son of a bitch gives a bracelet that's missing a stone to somebody.
It's wild.
Who does that? Your eyebrows are tiny. You shouldn't have that much currency in the world.
Do you think that maybe he killed this woman because he was starting to have an affair with her, or because this was like part of his trap to get her like taken away? Like,
well, I thought it was going to be that he was married to some other chick too and then killed her.
I mean, right? Yeah, but there was never, so frustrating.
Yeah, we don't even know. It's just a terrible bracelet ended up on a dead person. It's like, thanks, Lifetime. Could you maybe have cut out a little bit of the boat part? Did we need to know the bone or the boat was bone dry? I rather would have seen like this, you know, Heather Locklear getting killed in Big Bear.
So Sarah's sister Lauren offers to help Sarah like hang on to her home because she's going to lose the house.
That girl ain't got a job. What does the sister do?
I was shocked. I was like, okay, Lauren, like now you're running two homes. Like, who the fuck are you? Like, congratulations. I'm so happy for your success, Lauren. Who the fuck are you? So Sarah tells her that she can't let her. She's like, you know, and then Lauren's just like, well, what about the life insurance? Which I'm like, they've moved on really quickly. And Sarah says that until the death certificate is provided, they can't cash out a policy. And then just then, news report from reporter, the reporter's name is Caroline Veal. And says, it's some innocuous summer fun piece, but Jason is in the background fully alive. So it's like a news clip from like Beat the Heat, like on Santa Monica Pier or whatever. And Jason is just walking down Santa Monica Pier, which like, look, I don't live in Santa Monica. I do live in LA. I will tell you, I've been to Santa Monica Pier probably 6 times in the 10 years I've lived here. And like, four of those times where someone came to town.
Yeah. And like, both times were when someone came to town.
And like,
there's like nothing down there. Where is he going? What is he going to play? Like a terrible pinball machine at the hot dog place?
I mean,
like
maybe he was with his other. Yeah. Like his oldest child in the other family was like 13, which is like a little bit too old to be like, I mean, like, and during the day, you're 13 and you're at the Santa Monica Pier with your dad, you're a loser.
And then this idiot is trying to pretend he's dead, but then he sees a news camera and he turns around and looks at the news camera. He's like, looks right into it, like pulls his sunglasses down and looks into it.
So like, I guess for a guy that was supposed to be pretty smart, Jason slash David, like he's kind of a he's kind of a retard. He just ditched his family and he's on the Santa Monica Pier. So, Haley takes her sister to the garage. They find this small receipt that says Santa Monica on it. Santa Monica Mail Center.
Because first of all, how does she see that little tiny man in the background when she's standing at her terrible kitchen tile work all the way back at the end of the kitchen, the TV's all the way on the other side of the room. And then she's like, I'm at Santa Monica Pier and there's an ocean over there and there happens to be games. I was like, what kind of news story is this? Everybody knows that's what's on Santa Monica. Why is this on the news?
Great work, Caroline Veal.
Yeah, great work, Veal. And she's like, Santa Monica, Santa Monica, Santa Monica, Santa Monica, Santa Monica. Santa, where have I heard about Santa Monica? I'm like, you lived in LA, you nitwit.
And so,
there's a boulevard that runs through the whole damn city called Santa Monica.
Okay, I'm gonna need you to watch Brandon.
Sarah, I really think that you should just go to the police with this information.
The police? The police don't care. The police haven't done one thing but accuse me this whole time. Can you watch him? Lauren, I've gotta go. I need answers.
Okay, but be careful. Any man who would put you in this situation is dangerous.
Brandon needs him. So what choice do I have but to go there, find him, and drag him back here?
Haley goes to the post office and she tries to leave the package under Jason Goodman. She's in Santa Monica
now. I'm so sorry to do this to you.
What?
But I have to point out when she's like, we have to go look at receipts in this box in the garage, that they open this box of receipts and there's like 10 coupons for Wild Wings.
Was
like that you
really
get in the Val pack. I was like, who does? These are the worst prop people I've ever seen. Okay.
Like Buffalo continue. Wild Wings?
It just said Wild Wings. And I was like, why is she hiding Wild Wings certificates in the garage? Like, who's got secrets here, Haley?
Got secret wing coupons.
Her this secret sick wings. Fuck
in this relationship. This is like a reverse Jodi Arias. Like, she's just as sick as he is. Equally as mentally ill. So, I loved this because Brandon calls. And when you were a kid, did you used to like call your mom and be like, I don't want to sleep here? Completely.
We didn't have like, cell phones then. So no. I would call like the restaurant. I mean, you could really be a little diva asshole kid back then.
I did that too.
I was like, hey, lady at the bowling alley, my mother's name is Rhonda. Please call her. I'm very upset. And I'd be like, Rhonda, put Rhonda. Your child's on the phone. I used to like to run away from her in the mall and then go to the security people and be like, my mom left me. And then they'd be like, Rhonda. I got such a kick out of hearing that over the loudspeaker.
Did Rhonda mind?
She beat the shit out of me. She had a wooden spoon in her glove compartment. If that. Ronnie. That was the 80s, so it was
Rhonda
okay.
Would never, I mean, like, not to blame the victim, but Rhonda would never get herself in the situation that Sarah has found herself in.
Oh, hell no. She would have been all up in that from the very beginning. She'd be like, what do? Who do you work with? Where are they? When can I meet them? How much do you make? I'm talking to your boss. You're going to make more soon, you loser. You should be making more. Look at this tile bullshit in the kitchen. I want this rock out of my house. We're getting a remodel. How do we get this money? What's the boss's wife's name? There will be no Lifetime movie with Rhonda.
Sarah sees Jason leave the post office with another woman. They are all being all intimate or whatever. She's just gotten off the phone with her son who's sobbing because he doesn't want to sleep at Lauren's house, which I don't know. Lauren's kind of a dud. Like, I was with him on that.
Lauren is almost as boring as her sister.
I was like, what? This kid's got 365 good days of his life left and he sleeps to spend the night on Lauren's house. I'd be pissed too. I'd be like, why aren't we like on an African safari? I'm old enough to remember this. Like,
She doesn't even have cable, Mom. She's got a galley kitchen, okay? This is terrible. Also, this kid didn't even cry. Like, he's got some genetic rotation of mutation, and he's never cried. But now he's crying.
I know.
Kid.
So Haley discovers with he's with another woman to the extent that they have an honor roll student sticker on the back of his car, which I kind of love because like when she called her sister to say like I've been following him, she's like, they even have one of those honor roll students. So I was like, oh, so she's kind of like we kind of know Brandon's dumb now, like we like the concept of an honor roll sticker is so foreign to her that it's like, oh, one of those, like one of those, like a baby on board thing is to me where I'm just like, oh, there's something that does not apply to me at all. That's what I took from that.
Well, like, we saw her kid's iPad.
I noticed like, that they've been like trying to tell, like they try to like inform, they're like, these women are dumb. That's the other thing that they want you to know with these movies. They're like, these chicks are pretty dumb. And it's taken me a while to like tune into that. I don't know why. Like, I was, like, so appalled. Like, Megan from Craigslist Killer, total dummy. Like, all the Drew Peterson chicks, total dummies. Like, that's what they're trying to infer. Like, Jodi Arias, like, not a dummy, but, like, crazy.
She was not bright. Well, she did some tricky things.
She was manipulative. I would say she's street smart.
And all roads lead back to Jodi. But yeah, this girl, both of them, you're right, were totally stupid. And also, this was written by some intern, this scene. I think they were like, all right, we need the post office scene just to get it done. Because, okay, this post office, you see her parallel parked across from this little postal mailbox thing. But then when she goes inside, there's no parallel parking there. It's like the other way
I know.
Parking. And the guy's like, what is his name? Jason Goodman? Can't find it, Jason Goodman. Like, what are you writing a paragraph in there? His name is, it's like two names. And she's like, no, I think I got it wrong. his name is Mr. Marcus. And he's like, Mr. Marcus.
Oh, my God. You're right. This is another complete breach of confidence. Oh, he's like, oh, Mr. Marcus, he comes here pretty much every night, just around 7 p.m. Yeah, I love Mr. Marcus. He's here all the time for mail. Like, I mean,
type, told him
everything. Like, I don't even know if you're allowed to confirm that someone has like a P.O. box someplace. And he basically like gave him his last name.
Mr. Marcus loves getting his porn at the mailbox shop at 11 p.m. God, those bombs he's getting in here. Great stuff. Great stuff. Jeez. I mean, I know you're not a priest, but.
So Haley walks up to Jason's house the next day and she
drives up the driveway when she's following them. Like this.
No,
dumb.
This is after this. This is when after she goes and stays at the weird airport looking hotel for the night. And then she wakes up the next morning.
But before that, when she was following him home, first of all, a couple that's married that long doesn't make out in front of the mailbox shop. And then he's like, okay, honey, here's get into the car. And they kiss before he puts her in. And then they get to the house and he kisses her again. I'm like, who does that? How long have you been married? But anyway, when they go up this big, long driveway, Haley just pulls right in and follows them right up the driveway. Who does that?
It was as she did. She did turn her lights off when they got inside. And I was just like, girl, now? Like, you should, for the last, like, mile, you should have had your lights off. What are you doing? She was literally driving, like, 1 foot behind him. So the next day, she goes back to the house. And she has, like, a pretty good plan. And her phone rings. And it's Detective Miller. And he's like, hey, your sister told me what you're up to. Like, you could die at the hands of this man. Like, you have no idea what he could do. She's like, I've got this, okay? I'm doing this for Brandon. So
what, are you going to accuse me of murder again? Is that what you're going to do? She's like still so defensive with the cops who did nothing but show up to her house.
I guess that does kind of set up a quote unquote payoff later on at the very end of the movie where I didn't really understand why he apologized to her for giving her such a rough time.
But he literally never did.
No, like he just was asking her like normal questions that like an officer of the law would ask someone involved in a potential murder. Like,
yeah, in real life, she would be arrested because he's like, when did you last see him? How dare you? How dare you ask me that? What do you think? I didn't see him last. He's like, OK, come with us, ma'am. Please get in the back of the car.
What do you think? I didn't see him last.
Like her questions. Her questions were so stupid. She's all mad.
So Jason's wife, or now David, his wife was significantly older than probably like 10 to 15 years older than Haley. And yes, their oldest child is like 21. They have three children. It's like 21, 17, and 13 or something like that. And Haley tells her that she's a real estate agent and she's new to the neighborhood and she just kind of like likes the house and wants to see if they're interested in selling it. So she invites her. I mean, like, would you? I mean, I guess like, do housewives do that? Like,
no. And she's like, come on in. I'll give you a tour.
She's like, I'm sorry. I'm being rude. Would you like to come in? And I'm like, you're not really being rude. Like, it is kind of alarming that this woman has just showed up to your house.
May I offer you a steak or a DNA swab of myself? Anything?
So one thing that did you notice that in the kitchen, their kitchen was pretty bad too, but in the kitchen, on top of the stove, there was like a pewter W on the stove. That's like one of those things you can get at Home Goods, except it was flipped upside down. So it would be an M. Like they didn't even buy the right letter, or like the one wasn't on sale, or the Airbnb they rented, like had like, it used to spell out wine and they just flipped it over. Like it was really,
can we make his name Ein in the other house? I don't want to have to buy more props.
So, Emily takes her on this tour of the house. Jason comes home. He and Haley have a talk and he pretends fully in front of his wife that he has no idea who she is. And when he sends his wife out of the room and like, he completely is just like, you need to get out of here. His wife comes down.
I have no idea who you are. She's like, how could you? Our son has genetic halitosis. And he's like, I don't care. Get out. And what is that part where the wife is like, and here's the living room. I'm so proud of it. And here's the movie room. This room is completely soundproof. You can't hear a thing in here. It's like, ooh, it's another setup. Someone's going to die. Maybe that little golden dog's going to come in here and get slaughtered. Like, something has to happen. Because when you say this room is soundproof, someone's got to scream in there, right?
Also, like, lame. That room is definitely not soundproof because, like, it is connected to two open walls and there's like, windows on like every single surface. No, you're
that
fine.
Is so true.
There's window. Like two, there's.
It's an open room.
It's like an open room. It's connected to the dining room and the kitchen. Like, I would say it's probably one of the least soundproof rooms in the house. And she's like, we watch so perfect for watching movies. And trust me, we've watched them all. And I'm like, I'd like to read more about that. Like, Tom, what movies do you watch? Like, have you really watched them all? Or are you just like kind of one of those people that like you watch like one movie a week and you think that you're some sort of cinephile? Like, what is your family's deal? I don't understand what they
You've
do.
You've certainly never seen a Lifetime movie. You dumbass.
And also, like, is David ever home for these movie nights, or is it just you and the kids? Like, who's watched them all? I don't know. I just had a lot
we
of
even
questions.
We watch dad movies. It's because we miss David so much. David Jason so much.
Ghost Dad. We watch Ghost Dad pretty much. Pretty much. Ghost Dad is the only movie. When I say we watched them all, I mean we watched all the copies of the DVD Ghost Dad in America.
I tried watching Godfather, but you know, we're not very religious. No. It's just not worth watching it just for
some
father.
Some people
so
collect
pretty much
wine.
Ghost Dad.
We collect DVDs of the movie Ghost Dad.
Have you seen Ghost Dad and Betamax?
Which
I can show you right now.
Can you imagine like how poor? I mean, do you think that it, like Ghost Dad is selling very poorly or very well right now?
This is a crazy market.
You know?
You never know what's going to win. You know how many people have seen this movie we're talking about? A lot.
Yeah.
My mom was like, oh, that's not so bad. I said, does she get chased? And she's like, well, there is a boat. And I said, don't tell me. I'm sure she was going to say like a boat thing.
I'm sure she was.
But she made it sound like everybody's seen this. So Ghost Dad, you never know. They're probably just rolling in the dough over there. The Ghost Dad royalties.
I mean, yeah. I feel like this sounds awful. But like, first of all, them pulling the Cosby Show from syndication was pretty, it's like sucked because that's like the best show of all time.
No kidding. It's not like he was offering them a glass of wine with an Emmy.
Okay.
In it.
But
well, I mean, like, why are you going to take it out on Rudy?
Oh, I know. Poor Rudy.
she deserves her royalties.
I think if any of them need them, it is Rudy.
Yeah,
Rudy
they should just
of reality TV.
They should just keep showing the Cosby Show and just put a little caption on the bottom that says, sorry.
I'm really sorry.
Really sorry, guys. Really sorry.
Love, Keisha Knight. Paul. Raven Simone is probably the richest out of all of them. From Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
I only know Rudy.
That's so Raven.
I can't support anything else.
Raven Simone played Olivia.
Once you've been Rudy, you can never play anything else. I don't approve of taking on all these other roles and becoming other people. You're not an actor. You're Rudy.
So Jason like completely manhandles Hayley Duff and like literally throws her out of the house onto the driveway. And the wife like kind of doesn't, he does like, he like, she was trying to steal from us. And like, he holds up like what is obviously like a crystal covered fortune cookie. And she was like, that was my grandmother's. And I was like, no, that came from like CVS. Like that came, that's like one of those weird like trinkets they sell at CVS
yes,
around
like
the holidays.
Yes, it's like a little thing. You open it up. It's like a little, you know, hard shell change purse thing.
It was very. And I was like, your grandmother did not like.
You're
first
in a
of
mansion.
All,
you can't find anything else. She's like, how dare you? That you not only stole from me, you made me feel like an idiot. I should have known. I'm like, yes, you should have known that someone was going to come steal your porcelain fortune cookie, the great porcelain fortune cookie robber of Santa Monica.
So he flips out on her and he completely rips his wife a new asshole. She's like very freaked out because she's never seen this side of him before, which made me feel like that probably would, I mean, that's probably the worst it could be. like to just be married to someone for like 20 something years and then have them turn into a completely different person one day.
Yeah, and it's like didn't verbally even make sense because he kept it together for the most part, but yeah. Then he got her out of there and she was like, she didn't tell the wife or anything. He basically got away with it. And then he's like, I need to go to work. And she's like, oh, okay, where? San Juan. I didn't know that you know anybody. And how dare you? Look at all this that I pay for. Soundproof room. You think that soundproof room pays for itself? And she's like, oh, I've never seen you like this.
The cops are pissed at Haley Duff for going outside of their jurisdiction to deal with this. And they want to get in touch with Goodman, but they need time to get it together. This is like, the cops always move so slow on this. I'm like, what do you need a warrant? Like, what do you need time for? Like the drive from Big Bear to Santa Monica? That's the most I can imagine.
But then they're so fast at the same time. She's like, okay, well, I'll be driving from Big Bear to wherever. She's like, I'll be there in an hour. What time are you driving that you're getting to Big Bear in an hour? Nobody gets to Big Bear in an hour.
Nobody. Basically, right now, David calls Haley and tells her that he's going to have to kill her. Unfortunately, he just can't afford two families. Like, why would he tell her this?
Now you call me? Like I've been calling you for 2 damn months. You could have just broken up with me.
Also, kind of like murdering someone 101. Like, maybe just don't give him a 2-hour heads up. But also, like, Sarah's a dumbass because she just, like, stayed around the house. Like,
yeah,
go.
She's like, okay, I'll go home.
Yeah, like she needed to like Jennifer Lopez and enough it for some reason. Like she really needed
girl,
to like,
you know she ain't gonna go to no taekwondo class for this movie.
No. So.
She already got leggings.
Hello?
Listen, this is crazy. We should meet.
What is there to talk about?
Now you're being irrational.
I'm being irrational. You just left us. You have a whole other family. You have a whole other life. How could you do this to us?
It just happened. I was with Emily and I met you.
You just conveniently forgot to tell me that you had another family.
I wouldn't say it was a matter of convenience. It just simply, it wasn't necessary to tell you.
And you just thought I'd never find out.
Initially, I thought you might, but as the years went by, it just got easier and easier. You know?
Yeah, of course it did, because you were comfortable. And I was in love with you. What changed?
Well, it was simple. I just couldn't afford two families anymore.
Jason, where is your heart? Where is the man that I fell in love with?
Listen, Sarah, I never meant to hurt you. Or Brandon. You were just casualties of my...
Your selfishness? You didn't just hurt us, Jason. You scarred us. And now Brandon might die, and you need to do the right thing and go see Dr. McCann.
No, that won't be necessary.
Why?
Because I have other plans.
What does that mean?
Listen, Sarah, I'm sorry, okay? We had a great time together. But it's just not rational to have two families. So one of them has to go.
Jason, you're insane. Jason? Jason!
So we see Haley filling one of the boats with gas, and just one of the boats with gas. This is a callback to remember, they keep those boats bone dry, she said.
Which, the accusation from the child was, dad says, or mom, he said to the dad, mom says you always keep these boats bone dry. So he's not thinking of that. Like, I keep these boats bone dry. Even the damn kid's making fun of me about it. Maybe I should put some gas in there. Or just shoot her. Like, she's in a speedboat. It's not like some luxury liner where she goes into the basement.
It was a series of weird choices with the bullets. So Haley fills the boat with gas, and she goes inside and looks for the gun in the closet safe. It's not there. Then David's already got it downstairs.
Which is exactly why I have to get rid of some dead weight.
Okay, you don't care about me. What about Brandon?
Why should I care about Brandon? It was your mistake. I could have left you the day you told me you were pregnant with him, but I didn't. I stayed. I played husband. played the father. Even with a whole other family to take care of.
No, you're lying. I've seen you with Brandon. You love him.
No. No, I don't. That part of me is dead now. I love Emily, not you.
You're insane.
That's not nice. Oh, and by the way, don't go out front looking for those cops. They killed them. They're dead.
Just kill me.
No, not yet.
Why?
Because I need you. I need you to get to Brandon. Then I'll kill you. It's a win. Is it one? That means...
Really, now that we've... Okay, The Rock is just a common... Like, you would find it on outside on
that
on
is
the
like
street.
One of,
it's
yes.
The Rock.
If it had... It was close to being one with the two holes that people... You know, like, when you're poor, you make a shelving unit out of.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was humongous, and it's sitting on the kitchen counter. There's, like, two rocks suddenly just sitting there, two big square stones.
I mean, I guess I was thinking, like, that must be so nice to have the luxury of, like, that kind of... like space on your counter that you could just have like a, put like a small boulder there.
There were two of them too.
It was bizarre. It was like very bizarre.
Especially
I don't know.
Especially
when
your child is sick. Like, don't bring things from the inside and put them on the kitchen table.
Right.
It was a porous rock. It was not
Who
like.
Who knows where that came from? So he chases her around the house and she gets outside. She gets to the boat. She gassed up. David runs into, oh God, what's his name? Detective, what's his face?
Detective Parker Stevenson.
Parker Stevenson. Sorry, God, name just doesn't roll off the tongue for me. I guess
Parker.
He's a little bit before my time.
Like, yeah, he just, yeah, he like, is. I'm older.
Doesn't like jump out.
Yeah,
of
I remember
brain.
The tabloid stories. He used to be boing. I was like, Kirstie Alley, I don't care what he did to you. Stop throwing hamburgers at him and just make out.
Did
like, he's
he
so
hit
cute.
Her?
No, I mean in like self-defense. I mean, look, if you're with Kirstie Alley, who's going to be crazier, do you think? Just looking at him, Parker or Kirstie? That bitch is nuts.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It's like a reverse Lifetime movie where the woman is chasing him.
I wouldn't want either one of these people to be, I wouldn't want to be accountable to either one of them.
I wouldn't either.
I'll say that much.
I'm with you. Not marrying either one. We're agreed.
So David shoots the cop, shoulder wound. His partner, Miller, Detective Miller, shows up, and he has a gun on David as he gets in the boat to chase Haley Duff. And he's got him, like, directly in his crosshairs. And the detective's like, no, don't. We need to keep him alive. While he's on the boat, he gets onto the second boat, which is, like, I guess has enough gas in it that he can, like, get it going. He shoots, like, five times in a row and screams Sarah. And if I'm doing my math correctly, I don't know a lot about guns, but that's already, like, five bullets.
Well, certainly in movie terms.
So, like, he's got one or none left.
I had no idea what this guy was doing. She was literally, okay, the boat was, like, she's like, I'm getting in a boat. She's speed walking to the boat. She's going slowly. You've got this athletic-ish guy
who's
like running really fast. She gets on the boat all slowly.
He was jumping like four or five stairs
down.
Yeah,
he was like jumping down the stairs. And then the boat was like, it was all slow. And she's totally exposed. It's like standing yourself up on a platform when you don't want to get shot. Who does that?
Her technique was...
He could have just shot her. Like, what's wrong with him?
I'm glad that, like, she was smart enough to get into the faster boat. That was one thing that, like, immediately occurred to me where I was like, Sarah has shown no discernment or, like, really any good judgment at all throughout this entire film. So, like, how do I know that her character wouldn't fill up the slower boat by accident? But she... Her technique was to spin the boat around the lake as much as possible so that, like...
Well, yeah, because it's a lake. Like, where are you going to go?
He was, like, in the wake of her, like... And what is it called? Like, when the water splashes out from behind a boat.
Like, the water dust, like...
He would, like, was trying to just, like... She was trying to make a bunch of water dust.
Yeah, she's like, I'm squirting my water dust right in his face. This movie... Who sat in the writer's room and was like, let's have two really slow speed boats
just going in a circle for our climax.
I mean, it's Big Bear, right? So we have to think of like a fun, like kind of Big Bear way to murder someone. And I guess it's like a boat fight. I know, right? Exactly. Or like, I mean, really like the smashing of a head, the smashing of a head with a boulder was like kind of wasted in the moment that it was given to.
Especially that she didn't take his gun. You knock somebody with a gigantic boulder.
Get the gun.
In the head. She got him in the head. Get the gun or hit him again with the boulder. Don't run. Like, girl, we know you don't want to run. So she runs down to that boat. And also, when he shoots Parker Stevenson, I thought he shot him in the stomach because they told Parker Stevenson that's where he got shot.
Yeah,
he was just grabbing his stomach the whole time. And then he had an armband on later, which we'll get to at the end. But he gets shot in the stomach. And then the husband guy, Jason David, is like, you know, it's your lucky day because I've got to go. Like, what does it take a long time to shoot somebody?
No, exactly.
You can't take the time to just finish shooting the cop.
And lazy. Like, also this actor has like lost his mind. First of all, like this actor's go-to for like, I'm a curious guy. Like I don't give a fuck about anything. And I've lost my damn mind. Like is almost like a Derek Zoolander type face. Like he's making a lot of very like puckered, like, strange faces. Like that was the actor's way of showing that he's lost his damn mind. And I want to highlight another like really amazing piece of his acting in this film. It's when his boat runs out of gas. He does such an amazing job of delivering his dialogue when his character realizes this is happening to him. Like, do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like a day that you're like already frustrated and have like a bajillion things to do and like you have so much shit, and then like all of a sudden like you're getting it from your desk and you bang your knee on your desk and you're like, God fucking damn it. Like, as if I don't have enough to do today, I banged my knee and it really fucking hurts.
All I wanted to do is kill my fake wife. Ugh, damn it.
And like also there's like at this point, Hayley Duff is still in her boat for some reason. She just like shows no sign of going ashore anytime soon.
No, she's like, okay, I'll just watch him. And he's like, I've been caught. The police are coming.
Wait. Oh. He decides to jump in the water. Yeah, oh, okay. Here. Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
He's
go ahead.
So bad that when he jumps in the water, he can stand in the water wherever they're shooting. So he jumps in it and he's standing in the water. And then he's like, oh yeah, I'm in a lake. So then he like kneels down or whatever and starts swimming. Could you cut that part out where we see him standing in the water? What is he, Jesus now?
Come on. And also like it's as if he's just running from the two detectives, one of whom is wounded. Like currently there is a helicopter. There's like state police involved. Like
Cody
there's
Foster's
like
there.
The entire property is surrounded. And like the guy's like, I'm just going to swim my way out of this lake. Like, what are you, crazy? So he does get to the other side of the lake. He looks back at the lake and like laughs at it like, fuck you lake, like fuck you idiots, like I'm still gonna get away with this. And then right then Parker Stevenson arrests him, and the detective is like getting his rocks off so hard when he catches him. Like he has shown no passion throughout this movie on this level. I really want to play the way he Mirandizes him is insane.
And you're back. And you were right. This is my lucky day. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to a lawyer, to have him present while you're being questioned.
Hayley Duff is still in her boat. And then we just like cut to her walking inside. And I can't tell if this is... Now, did the sister already show up, even though this just happened, did the sister already show up to Hayley Duff's house with the son? Or did Hayley Duff, out of the speedboat?
It's like, okay, I'm gonna bait my husband with a circular boat chase, so be here in 20 minutes. Because, yeah, you're right. She comes back, and she's just walking in like, ah, okay, that's done. Walking
and then I was
slowly.
Thinking, like, maybe there was a chance that, like, it's been several hours and she's been released and she's like going to go pick her son up. But I'm like, it would be near dawn. Like by the time they were finished doing all the police paperwork after like the boat chase that she's just
been. There was no police paperwork in this. He was like, listen, I'll tell you one thing about your dad. Hated paperwork. So we're just going to chalk this one up to me being shot in the stomach arm.
It's true. It's a family trait. They hate paperwork. Okay, so this is Hayley Duff's like Emmy moment, I think. They write these Emmy moments, and when they get a big star like Hayley Duff, they have to give her some like real meat. And her telling her son that he doesn't have a dad anymore is her big scene.
What about Dad? Where is he?
We found Daddy, and he's fine. But he's very sick.
How?
Well, his body is okay, but his mind isn't. And he's gonna get some help, but we're not gonna be able to talk to him for a little while.
Well, I'll help him.
When she's like, his body isn't sick, but his brain is.
He just needs to get help, which is why we should not have the death penalty.
Because
maybe it was just a little cold in your daddy's head. I was like, why are you making a statement?
I know.
Chase the man around in a circle.
If this movie was really good, like, if this movie was really good, this is the only thing they'd have to do to fix it. No, but they, like, then she would write a children's book, like, explaining how to explain to your child that that their father is like a psycho, and like then she could save her house in Big Bear. Like, that would have been a better resolve for me than anything. And also, this was another thing.
Her own business
is that she says to him, "The good news is, Daddy's going to help you get all better." And like, here's my question: how does she know that already? Can they force the man to give a bone marrow transplant just because he's a mentally ill criminal, or like? Like, have they been able to confirm in, like, the 5 minutes since she got out of that boat that this man who had no interest in saving their child's life said he didn't love him or her, that they were too expensive and he doesn't want to deal with it anymore? Do they really think that this man is definitely going to give the bone marrow? Like, can they force someone to give bone marrow?
I mean, look, all the flagrant abuse of any kind of law in this movie, they ain't gonna ask. The lady's just like, here's his location on his phone. The doctors, they'll just take it. They don't care. They'll be like, well, we got it off the handcuffs and saved your life.
It is true. It just seems a little like fucked up to me to like, that's not like saying like, oh, we're going to go to Disneyland for Christmas. And then like the family can't quite pull the money together because Dad lost his job at the last minute. Like, this is a terminally ill child. And that, like, is pretty sure he's just, like, he's going to die. And then she comes back and is, like, spills the beans, like, prematurely that he's going to live. Like, that's like, he's already doesn't have a dad anymore. Like, he's probably not going to be able to live in that house anymore either.
I like that he's totally fine with this. She's like, your daddy's gone now. He's very sick. His tiny eyebrows have been put in tiny eyebrow gel. And he's like, okay. And then she's like, okay now, honey. Don't worry. Just told you your dad's gone forever. And he's like, okay. He starts doing that fake cough thing. And then without any emotion, she just turns away from him and just lets him cough on his own. And she's like, anyway, sister. And then she starts having like some rando conversation with her sister.
It was
her
like son's completely like inappropriate. So, we cut to, I guess, what's a couple months later, and the detectives show up for a boating day, Parker Stevenson and Detective Miller. And they're, you know, kind of weird. One of those weird things in real life where it's like, I always say, like, I wanted to keep in touch better with the veterinarian that helped me, the veterinary assistant that helped me the day that Wags got attacked. But you don't really, like, keep up with these people.
That's actually a deeper bond
that you have with that. I sent flowers to Blanca. Vet. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a deeper bond with Blanca than this bitch does. Like, some guy your dad used to work with that you don't even know.
Yeah. And, like, it's also, like, she's like, thanks for saving my life. He's like, well, you're worth it, kid. And it's like, also, you're a detective. Like, it's your fucking job. Like, what you're implying is that there's some people out there that get murdered that you're like, I gave it my best shot.
He's like not
but,
going
I mean, I
down
have
all
no
those
personal
stairs.
Connection to this person.
Yeah, for the other people. He's like, I'm not going down all those stairs. They could die in the lake.
So The new hot young detective is what I call him here. He's like, sorry for being so hard on you, which again is weird because he wasn't hard on her at all.
He's like, I'm so sorry I tried to help you in your time of need, even though everybody else would have told you, bitch, wait a week.
And then the last thing I wrote here is just like, what the fuck happened to the murdered girl, by the way? Like this girl, Ashley, that was wearing Haley Duff's old jewelry.
No one knew. And also, why in the world, if you have two families, one of them is younger, I mean, questionably hotter, no offense to any of the actresses, and one kid, why would you leave their poor asses for a gigantic house in Santa Monica that you know costs a damn $1 million, and three kids, one's in college, why don't you kill them? Why don't you keep the poor ones? It's like, this guy has no mind for finance. It's right. No wonder he got himself in a pickle.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he was pretty mean when he said, like, I could have left you when you got pregnant with Brandon. Like, that was pretty fucked.
So why didn't you? That's what I don't get it. If you're going to be an asshole, that's the time to be an asshole. Like, is this a time before Tinder where you could just find some poutine for free on the internet? Like, what's with people who have to, like, get someone pregnant and then have a whole secret life and buy a house in Big Bear for them? Like, what world do you live in?
Is it called palimony when you're married to, like, multiple people? Palimony, California.
No, palimony is like alimony, but when the man has to pay it. I think it's called polygamy when you're married to multiple people.
No.
Am I wrong?
No.
Like, I'm literally stupid. Alimony.
Yeah, you're right. No, wait. What's it called? Hold on. Yeah. Wait.
Polygamy, like the Mormons used to back in the day. Don't get offended,
but
Mormons.
They're not polygamous in this family because he has two secret families. And I'm wondering how he got two marriage certificates, or if like Haley's just such a dumbo that she never even sent it in.
She probably did. He was probably like, look, we're in a park. And like, she needed nothing, this girl. Like, she asked for nothing. She could have been in a Motel 6. She wouldn't have even cared. He was probably like, okay, here's like a twisty tie ring. We're married. And she's like, oh my God, he's so romantic. Bigamy. I have a husband. Was it?
Bigamy.
Bigamy?
Is what it's called. Sorry.
It's like racist marriage.
Yeah. Bigamy definition, being married to more than one person at the same time. A criminal offense in most jurisdictions. Maybe Big Bear.
But then why were they like, when she said, you've been married twice, I'm going to have you thrown in jail. I was like, and also he murdered a lady in your bracelet. Like, why are you bringing up I think that's a longer sentence, probably, murdering the lady from Melrose Place, than just, like, being married to some rando in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
People need to learn to prioritize.
So before we go into our scale, let's just do some, look at some trivias and goofs and stuff like that, all that good stuff.
Well, I was really upset that it did not end with Haley singing a song, because she's a singer, right?
I believe so.
Because the last song was like, you're in the darkness, but I can see you in the shadows. Why are you hiding? And I was like, this is so stupid. I'm going to download this immediately. Nothing came up on Shazam. I had to Google it, and it was not her. And I'm upset. It's like, who did your contract? Why do you not have a theme song in this film?
I know. I think that Haley's kind of given up on that. That aspect of her life. I can find some trivia.
Just in general. I mean, this movie, she did iron her hair and she did pump up her upper lip. But I think that was to make her feel thinner.
Her hair looked good.
It looked very pretty. Her makeup was very good the whole way through. Giant upper lip. Terrible acting. I mean, is she that bad in everything? My mom says she's in a lot of Lifetimes.
We're probably going to have to explore some more. I'm not sure yet. I mean, I hope she's doing well.
I don't need the au revoir.
Okay, wait a minute. Boring. User reviews. There's no trivia on this movie. Boring. It's December 18, 2015 by Gil Fisher. It says, except for the actor playing the husband, David O'Donnell. Hi, David O'Donnell. Nice to see you here on IMDb.
Okay, homosexual, go to Pornhub.
This is pretty much predictable. There are two families with the same husband. One neglected one, played by Haley Duff, takes it upon herself to find him and make some trouble. Oh, yeah. Oh, she's making some trouble.
Yeah. All that trouble she makes at the post office box place.
She gives a very ineffectual performance and is somewhat boring to watch. The other wife, played by Jennifer Aspen, reacts to the trouble the first wife brings into her home. She gives an honest performance with little to do. The friend, played by McKenna Maloney, is not too much help. Then there's Parker Stevenson, a reluctant detective that's just in the movie and doesn't do much. And there you have it. Not very interesting and not well written or acted. Duff is somewhat a bad actress and the trouble is from the and is trouble from the get-go. You want her to lose. She
you
is
really
a
do. You really do want it. I mean, that's a good point. But also this like reviewer, I want this reviewer to lose too.
Wait a minute. You want her to lose. She is a dork. Don't waste your time.
And you lost. Isn't that weird how quickly my dream came true?
He called her a dork.
Yeah, immediate.
She's
immediate
a dork.
Lose.
Okay.
You said somewhat and ineffective, and then you resorted to dork. Come on, reviewer. You're better than this.
Okay, so this is from the message board. So did the kid get better? The movie doesn't really tell us if he got the transplant he needed or not. And then Jeff 677 writes, who cares? And then Bunny Love 12 writes, I think once his father was found and caught, he was forced to give him bone marrow so his son could survive. That's what I assume. Then Brock Long writes, very strange ending. The movie kept stressing that the boy's health issues and then never bothers to resolve this. In the last scene, we are left to assume that the boy is recovered as he is no longer coughing / saying he feels bad and clamoring to go boating with everyone. I thought this movie was very poorly written. It seemed odd to me that Haley Duff's character was so obsessed with getting this DNA testing from the father, who would be the first choice beyond her, but no one ever mentioned even the possibility of having DNA testing done on the man's three other biological children from the first marriage.
Whoa, that is way too much thinking.
If the mother
thinking.
Had been so frantic and the father was such a liar and apparently became so insane in the end, it seems to me that the woman would have at least mentioned every avenue of getting her son help, including his half-siblings. Well, thank you. Brandon is the subject. The child who played Brandon was absolutely horrible. I don't normally like to harp on child actors because they are young and still learning, but man, this kid needs to take some acting lessons if he ever wants to make it in the business. And then a Clockwork Orange 71 writes, are you serious? I found nothing wrong with his acting. Maybe his coughing sounded pretend and not convincing, but other than that, he is fine.
That's totally his mom.
And then Walden
like
Pond.
I was on him about his coughing, and look, it's ruining his whole career.
Walden Pond 88 writes, I found his performance very touching. And then HRHRHR wrote, he was excellent compared to British child actors. They're lumps on the screen. And then Jay Norgi wrote, I thought they just wrote him badly. Might as well have been a sci-fi film. And then Jay Michael.
You don't write that haircut. Okay. That is something that fucker showed up onto set with.
J. Michael 3387 writes, he only had to spit out a few words at a time. Such a small role. Like, any kid could do it.
Okay, dude. Pedophiles, get a life.
These pedophiles
is even one of you going to mention that there was a murder that nobody even mentioned again?
Daddy is batshit crazy. This is the last one I'll read. This is from Kate, 1956. But he's going to help you get all better because the nice policemen who once tormented our lives are going to squeeze the life-saving plasma out of him. And then she did the emoji that's the winking tongue sticking out.
She's amazing.
Love you, girl. You're killing it, Kate, 1956. Okay, so let's do our scale. So acting, scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the most lifetimey, 1 being, what was the movie you mentioned today?
When
you said compared to Jodi Arias, this movie, or compared to this.
Oh, in the text?
Yeah.
I just said compared to the Jodi Arias movie, this one is like Howard's End. I remember okay. Jodi Arias was like Howard's End. It was like so beautiful and well done compared to this one.
So 1 is Howard's End and 5 is the most lifetime movie.
Well, it wasn't very lifetimey, I don't think.
How much was it like Howard's End?
Well, oh my God. Are those our choices? It seems like such an odd scale. It's not very okay. It's terrible acting. I don't know. I feel like I'm being mean to Emma Thompson. And like, what does she do to me? Like, she's gone through enough.
Honestly, I would say 4 just because, like, I think that David/Jason really carried that with those Zoolander faces toward the end.
He did.
Then also the doctor. And then Haley herself, you know.
The doctor. Oh, my God. Even really... the nurse in this was very Lifetime. And she was like, the doctor will see you. I was like, oh, my God. Is she going to kill somebody?
And
like,
Caroline Veal, the newscaster on the Santa Monica Pier.
Well, that's a full-on name slide scale.
So acting, I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay, I'll go with you.
So underreactions, meaning that something happened and the reaction was completely inappropriate, a complete underreaction.
This, yeah, 5.
It was a big, big 5, right?
Yeah, she never even mentioned the Facebook or the email, the missing Facebook or email address ever again. They never even brought up the dead lady again. No one knows what happened to the kid. Like, no one even cared.
No. Okay, overreactions.
I think that this was definitely a Howard's End in the over, because, you know, in those English movies, they don't really react to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of this. Like, there wasn't really a lot of reaction, do you think?
No, I mean, I would maybe give it a 2. I thought that Parker Stevenson really carried this category.
In the underreaction.
And the overreactions. And then also David, the way that David picked her up and threw her out of the house by one arm.
That was a good overreaction.
That was a good overreaction.
And also the assistant detective, the partner guy, Harry's like, ugh. And then like too into it, like for someone who's not even missing yet. Like, what?
And also like majorly at the end when he was like, I'm so sorry for giving you such a hard time. Like, I'm like, dude, that's a complete overreaction. Like, what a completely unnecessary, like, you gave this woman her life and her son's life back. Like, I think you're square.
Yeah.
You
just saved her life after a very slow circular boat chase. Like, don't beat yourself up. Have a hot dog. Like, she literally didn't even have a grill there. She was like, okay, thanks for coming down all those stairs. Want to get on a boat? No, you're not going to fit on that stupid boat. You barely even fit on there yourself.
Yeah, they didn't have a cooler or anything.
Dragging people along, like holding the edges of the boat. Like,
the cop was probably on some good painkillers, though.
He didn't even know what part of him was shot. Stupid.
It's true. Okay, dialogue. This one kind of disappointed me because it didn't have any zingers. Like, it didn't have any good lifetimey jokes or anything like that. Like,
there wasn't any humor in this.
It didn't even attempt a joke.
No, the humor in this, I will give it a 3 because just making the doctor, who obviously couldn't speak, making him say all those things was pretty good. So
yeah.
I'll give him a 3 for that. But okay. Otherwise.
So wardrobe. I thought this was really spot on, and like in that it wasn't as inexpensive looking as it could have been.
Oh my God, you could see the Old Navy tag on the detective partner's jeans. Like, I recognize the Old Navy acid wash on the butt.
But they did a nice job of like, they were like, oh, it's Haley Duff and Big Bear. So she had that one like sort of Navajo inspired blue sweater, and then she had her flannel shirts, and then like, you know, it just was very like,
she did have a lot of pregnant lady in the Target section, like, you know how there's just like the stretchy pants and then like the really loose gray, like she wore a lot of gray cotton.
The last shirt she wore was really unfortunate, like in the boat scene with the white.
It was, especially for a finale. I'm like, you could die right now. Why are you wearing that?
Right, exactly.
I did like the poncho thing that she wore, like the Southwestern style blue and white poncho. I was in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's what I mean by it was like very, it was very on the nose. It was very good lifetimey.
It was. Like, I think it probably took place in Manhattan, but Haley was like, look, I'll do this for $20, but I'm wearing leggings and cotton. So make it work. And they're like, Big Bear? She's like, okay.
So let's give wardrobe on this a 4.
God, that wardrobe person really won with this. Leggings and cotton and Old Navy jeans, and you got a 4. But you know what? I'm not going to be bitter about it. Hugs. Congrats.
Okay, so wigs and weaves.
Were there? Well, okay, let's see. Parker
it
was
might
Natch.
Be a 0 or a 1.
The pomade work was great on the husband.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, he's like, I just came back from a 20,000-day business trip, and I haven't rested all day. And I'm like, your hair is still...
His hair was good.
Slick. Hers was very well ironed. I don't think she had any pieces. Do you?
I actually realized that. I was like, if she has extensions here, they're very minimal.
She was all about the lips in this movie. She was all about the upper lip implant.
Mm-hmm.
The sister, like, who cares? She could die. I think that the other wife, she literally wears that same workout outfit and the same hair and everything I've ever seen her in. It's like, she just shows up in the same thing every time. And they're like, you're good.
I think it's a one.
You're good, Aspen.
For makeup, I mean, I would say Parker Stevenson had the heaviest makeup.
Did he?
I mean, I feel like he looked made up. I mean, Hayley Duff had like a very...
Hayley Duff, I feel, was
probably in her contract is her standard look.
Yeah, like silver eyeshadow.
Just, yeah, it's sort like of like a tones. Smoky, like a earth tone smoky
it's
eye.
Like earthy silver.
Yeah.
Her lipstick, like I really liked that she was obviously wearing some kind of lip stuff, but it wasn't shiny. It was just like perfectly moisturized lip implant.
You want to call it a three?
Yeah, because, I mean, they didn't really have to do much work. No offense, makeup people, because, you know, they're probably the ones listening to this.
Crying, which you would think there would be a lot of crying in this movie, but I don't think
Hayley Duff
shed one tear.
Hayley Duff fell down, and she was terrible. She actually had one scene where she cried, and it was almost inappropriate, considering that she hadn't been able to cry the entire movie. I'm trying to remember when it was. It was like... I'm driving right now to the... And I was like, you're really crying right now. And your child is dying.
Right.
You've read on all this shit about your husband. You show no emotion on your face. You've not shed a tear. You're crying in traffic? Fuck off.
I think it was when she was sitting in front of the mailbox place, like, saying that, like, she...
You're right.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm parallel.
And it was like a little, like, it was just like a little sniffle. And I'm like... Hayley, I'm going to need to see some more emotion from you here. Like, this is is like a big thing that you've taken on. It's a big, I mean, honestly, I have to say, like, it's one in a not complimentary way to it, but it just, there wasn't, I need more crying in a Lifetime movie. But then again, it was bad crying.
Like, it's supposed to be like almost like white people telenovelas where they're like, woohoo! I mean, look, Meredith Baxter Burney was like, one of the classic Lifetime actresses back in the day.
Yeah.
You would never know it from Family Ties, but she can sob. You know, I need to see someone sob. And I really thought, Hayley, I mean, considering you have such a famous sister and like how you're so like the other sister, no offense to like mentally handicapped people, because I don't mean it like that. But like, you're the lesser famous sister. You should have been sobbing. Like, you need to be making an effort.
You need to work.
This is not, you don't need to be waiting. You need to be swimming. You know?
Yeah, you don't.
Swim, Hayley.
I don't know how many, if you have enough jobs that you can afford to not cry.
I think these are filmed in a day. She's very lazy.
So do you want to give the crying a one?
Yeah, there's no crying. Even the sister cried at one point and she's like a dish rag. Like she had
and
nothing.
And by the way, literally no offense to Hayley Duff. I'm sure she's a great actress. This is also the source material at hand. I just all of a sudden got self-conscious because I think that I have met her and think she's a nice girl.
Well, I'm sure she's very nice. Her. Like, I don't care if she's nice or horrible. Like, if Hitler's in a movie, I'm going to tell him, Hitler, you could be horrible or nice. I don't know. I don't care. I'm not judging you for what you did to people. You need to cry in this film. Make it work. It's not Hayley as a person. It's Hayley in The Secret Wife or whatever the fuck.
Okay, victimization of the female character.
I mean, not really, because they kind of victimize themselves. Like, let's be honest.
I don't know. I would say it's a solid four because...
Victies?
Yeah, first of all, there's the one wife in Santa Monica that didn't know what hit her.
But she had a huge house and like gorgeous children. Like at least he paid for her life.
But I think it might have been the point is that he paid for the life, but... And then on the other end of the spectrum...
They were making out in front of the post office place. Like, she had love. I mean, granted, he victimized her in the end, but I'm sure she still got to keep the house and stuff.
Well, don't you think she was a little gaslit, though? Maybe, like, she...
Mm.
Maybe she, you know... I just don't know how he got all these. I mean, I guess I would be pretty happy if my husband wanted to not be at home most of the time and just like I only had to see him once a week. Like, that would be great. That's like my ideal relationship.
There's a certain thing that happens to most of us at a certain age where your husband just goes to this weird point where he cheats on you and he either makes you deal with it or he leaves you. Okay. Like a lot of relationships and getting older. Okay. I would almost rather have my husband, who I always thought was perfect until this day, instead of cheating on me or something else. He's just a crazy psychopath criminal who tried to murder someone and now he's gone forever. And I just have, it's like an easier cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know. So, I don't even remember the question.
So victimization of the female character.
Haley, I can't feel sorry for Haley. I mean, any woman worth her salt would have had his iCloud password, would have gotten that goddamn tile rock thing off the kitchen. She wouldn't have rocks. Like, she's endangering her child.
You want to give it a 2?
I'm going to go with 2. That's a good number.
Okay. And then font.
Font?
Yeah. We came up with this together.
Do you have by any chance? I mean, I guess I could fake it, but
no, let me look.
I do remember thinking in the beginning, this is hilarious because it's like a Photoshop font, but
A Secret Life.
Let me see.
It's his secret family. It was also called A Secret Life, I guess, at some point.
You see how they used like Helvetica or whatever, but they just like did some Photoshop, some stuff on the letters. Look, they made some shadowing. That's like more effort than went into this movie.
Why do they do this with these movies so much? Just like change the title, like His Secret Family.
Oh, that's not a good picture.
Yeah.
Who gets that shot? That shot wasn't even in the film, was it?
That's when they're looking at the TV at Caroline Veal.
That poster, is her name Jennifer Aspen?
Mm-hmm.
You go, girl. She's like in front of both of them.
Parker Stevenson, I know, that was probably in her contract. Parker Stevenson, he did make it on the poster, just in name.
That's a good poster, I think.
You think it's a good poster?
I mean, it's better than the movie.
I'm going to bump on this font right here, the italics right here that says, careful what you search for.
It's not like she was actively searching and fell upon
something.
Honestly,
like her husband just disappeared for an entire month. Like,
she literally stopped searching. She
yeah.
Was like, whatever.
Okay, so
you don't like that font?
I think with the font, I'm gonna give this a 2. 2 on the font.
I'll go 2 with the font, but if we had a poster, I would go for a 4. I like that kind of movie that's in that poster.
Did you add it up?
24.
Okay, Stephen Ray Morris added up. We're at 24. This is not a very Lifetime-y movie. This is pretty low on the scale.
Lifetime movies can be like cheesy and bad and stuff, but I like that about a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
This was not, it just wasn't like campy enough. Honestly, I think a lot of it was
there.
That Haley was tired.
I think she was too. I think she was like, yeah, probably hospitalized for exhaustion after.
I knew when it started because there was this shot of the house and it just stayed on the house, but then the camera looked like it was shaking and I was like, why is it like, are these people that terrible? But then I realized they had like Haley's body double walking down the stairs being like, bye, honey. The kid's like, you're the perfect dad. It was like 5 minutes of dialogue. It's like from the 70s, just this still shot of the house kind of moving back. Like,
how did you know it was her body double?
Well, otherwise they have Haley. I mean, they're paying for it. They might as well have showed her, right?
Oh, right. I guess that's true.
So
maybe they couldn't afford her for the 7th day of the shoot or something.
Yeah, or it's another writing backwards where they're like, we don't have that moment where they're like, you're the perfect husband and our perfect child.
Yeah.
Let's add it.
Yeah. Ronnie, thank you so much for being here today. Where can people find you online?
Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me at the Watch What Crappens Bravo podcast or the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. Look them up. You can find them all at ronniecarum.com, yo.
Ronnie, you're my fave. Thank you so much for being here. Our very first guest, and here you are at the halfway point. You guys, we are almost done with this season. We are taking, or we have just taken a little bit of a 2-week production break, which is good. That's a good thing. We want this season to last a little bit longer. Then we would have just zipped through it 15 weeks in a row. Come on. You know?
Great. I like that you have a set 15.
Well, I'm going to see if this is, well, this is the hope. Is that, well, first of all, I'm working on some big coupons for you guys. But I also, ideally, I don't know, if people like this show, we can either crowdfund it, we can do a Patreon where, I don't know, we release extra, I do an extra one of these a month or something like that, or there's other sorts of bonuses, we watch them live, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but I feel like if we're going to do a second season, we need to crowdfund it, because mom's not getting paid for this. I'm actually paying for it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And it's my pleasure.
It's my pleasure to do this because it's a dream of mine. But I don't know if I can do this. I have to do the other podcasts, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You've got a lot going on.
Got a lot going on. I've got nothing going on.
You don't
on.
Ever want it to feel like a dead end, you know? And you no guys, one wants you to feel like it's a dead end. They don't want their mom, like, all depressed. Everybody wants a happy mom.
If anyone has, like, I don't know. Some, I don't know. Whatever. Never mind.
I think that was actually really good goal setting. You just set your goal on the air.
Just like Travis Alexander. All right. Bye, you guys. Thank you so much.
And I know when the darkness surrounds you, you can breathe. Just know. I see the beauty in the shadows.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
You've been hiding.
I think you're going to hate this.
So now you're rescuing me.
It appears so.
Okay.
I'm glad you could make it today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you for putting your life on the line for us.
You bet. You're worth it.
When you
thank you for listening to Mother May I Sleep With Podcast. We'd love to hear what you think about the show, so reach out to us on Twitter at MMISWP. And while you're here, why not smash that subscribe button and make us a part of your weekly routine? If you want to go the extra mile, leave us a review. It helps our ranking in the iTunes store and lets other people find the show and share the lifetime love. Today's show was produced by Stephen Ray Morris with support from Christina Lopez. Molly Mae McMahon from Six Peaks made our logo. Additional thanks to our associate producer, Nicole Matthew. I'm your host, Molly MacLear, and you can find me across social media as Malls or on Snapchat, Malls Official. Until next week.